And it's the most wonderful time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Look who has just joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show for 2013. It's Santa Carl, everybody.
Hey.
Santa Carl.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, what's happening, Kevin and Big and Tammy? Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Santa Carl, so happy to be here with all the boys and girls. And let's go to the phones.
Actually, we're not quite ready to go to the phones, Santa Carl.
Well,
we are going to be taking calls.
Do you want to go to the phones? But okay, then. Santa Carl, sit here and talk. How everybody doing?
We're great and so happy to see you.
So good. Kevin.
I want to catch up with you, Santa Carl. Kevin's on vacation. He's actually already gone.
What? Hold up. Santa Carl, come in, talk to Kevin and Bick. And right. Santa Claus just talking to Ann Bick?
It's just Ann Bick and Tammy.
That's a dang thing right there.
I know.
That is a dang thing. And Kevin, I don't know where Kevin is right now, but going to be a whole heck of a lot of coal in Kevin's stocking.
And all up right, his butt, Santa too. Speaking of stockings, you want to talk to children this morning who would like to speak to Santa Carl about what they want for Christmas. What kind of little boys or girls are we looking for this year?
Santa Carl looking for good little boy and girl. Not the bad. Here's Santa Claus whole thing.
Right.
Good little boy and girl get toy.
Okay.
Bad little boy and girl get nothing. They don't get nothing at all. Aww. And that's the lesson that the parents have. That's what Santa Claus did with his own kids, little Carl Jr., little Carla, little Carlito. That's how Santa Claus do. No good boy and girl get good gift.
So some of your kids, Christmas comes around and they literally have not a thing under the tree, Santa Carl?
Hold up, Bick. Santa Carl saying good, hold up. Santa Carl want accountability. That's all.
Okay.
For actions. That's right. And that's what Santa Carl looking for. Little good boys, little good girls, call with phones, have to have phone. Can't call in without no phone. Okay.
Right.
Don't call Santa Claus. Looking for phone. Need phone this year because if you call in, you got a phone.
Okay. Gotta have a phone. All right, use your phone. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. What age range do we want the children to be, Santa Carl?
Santa Carl want children's not too old, but not too young.
All right.
Yeah, so call up.
Okay, well, that was helpful. Thank you.
Specify. Maybe say 4 to what? Like 7 maybe?
Would 4 to 40. Well, 4, yeah, 4. Here's the thing. Santa Claus don't have a lot of time to waste. Got a lot of toys to deliver. Don't want to be blabbering with some kid who don't know what the hell going on. So get your kid on the phone. Tell him Santa Claus on and tell him what kind of toy you looking for. And then Santa Claus will try to accommodate.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get your kid on the air with Santa Carl. Now, real quick before we take a break and go to calls, what is Santa Carl himself? You, the former Carl Malone NBA great, how do you spend your time now? What are you up to these days?
Well, Santa Carl have been driving around in truck, 16-wheel truck, Mack truck, driving around looking for things to tow. And also, it's winter right now in Utah, but shooting squirrel down in Louisiana. Santa Claus loved them little. Well, Santa Claus hate them little squirrel, but he loved them dead. He loved to eat them, bite the head. Santa Claus been biting the head off squirrel lately.
Really?
That's right.
So that's for reals. You really do eat the squirrels you kill.
Yep. Just like Ollie Osborne on stage, Santa Claus loved biting head off rodent of all types.
Yeah, the immortal Ollie Osborne. I like him very much as
Santa
well.
Santa Claus also lately been expanding, and Santa Claus been hunting hamster and gerbil, too.
Now, do you find a lot of those on the farm in Utah?
No, but find lots of them at preschools, etc.
Okay. All right, so Santa Carl, you look great. You sound great. We'll take a quick break.
That's so good. It's so happy. Santa Claus, so happy to see everybody.
We're happy to see you as well. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to your kids next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It's the most wonderful time of the year and the most special day on the Kevin and Bean Show all year long, too. Hit it, Steve.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name.
Oh, that's good. Santa Claus. Here he is, here he do. Santa Claus here to talk to all the boys and girls and the big and Kevin ain't here and Tammy who's here doing that traffic and all that right now.
That's right, Santa Carl. Hey, listen, before we go to the calls at 1-800-520-106, and I'm actually glad you're here because there's been a bit of a controversy this holiday season because of Fox News. Megyn Kelly coming out and talking about how Santa Claus can't be black. Well, clearly I'm looking at you, Santa Carl. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that's a dang thing right there because Megyn Kelly say Santa Claus, white, Santa Carl, black. Now, is do Santa black? That's a good question. And the truth is, Santa don't know. Santa Nate ain't black nor white. Santa dead. And that's a good message for the kids right now.
No, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus ain't real. Santa. Mm-hmm. That's
Santa
a real
Claus
saint.
Is very real.
Saint Nicorette. Were the saint of
Saint Nicorette. I know that much.
Saint Nicorette were the patron saint of chimneys.
Okay, and I think you got your facts.
And that's
there.
What happened, and that's when. But you know what? Right. That Santa Claus whole thing. It don't matter. Color don't matter. It's like a bag of Skittles. You don't care if you get yellow Skittle, green Skittle, purple Skittle, red Skittle.
Okay. Why don't we leave it there, Santa Carl? Thank you very much.
A brown color Skittle will be. That's
brought
be a
that
weird
into,
thing.
Into
that's
sharp
an
focus
M&M
for us.
Right there. That's a brown Skittle at right. M&M. And that's what
hey, Santa
Carl you're trying to say.
That's great.
Okay,
what do you say Vic. We talk to the. Let's talk to the kids. Why
okay,
don't we speak,
Vic.
Why don't we start with Liliana? Little Liliana is on line 3. Santa Carl, she wants to talk to you. She is 4 years old and she is on the phone right now.
Hello, little girl. What's your name?
Liliana.
Ah, Ciliana, how you doing? Santa Claus want to know. Santa, have you been a good little boy or girl this Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you done all kind of good things for your brother and sister?
Yeah.
And you been nice to everybody in your family? You do, when mama tell you, pick up after your toy, you pick up after your toy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So, tell Ciliana, what you want for Christmas time then? For Santa Carl.
A doll and a Barbie and
a doll.
An iPad.
Hold up, Santa Carl, trying to write all this down. A doll and a Barbie and an iPad too?
Yeah.
Well, that's a greedy little girl, so Santa Carl don't think. You know what Santa Carl going to suggest? Whittle down that list, whittle it, and then call back because Santa Claus ain't bringing all that.
Please, Santa.
What?
Please, Santa.
Okay, now
she
Santa Claus.
Please.
She said please. Oh, that's please. Cute. Okay, well, Santa Claus going to think about it, but you got to be good all the rest of the year, okay, Ciliana?
It's Liliana. Thank you for calling, darling.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Lina.
It.
Oh, that's cute right there. That's a greedy little girl. That's a greedy little girl. But a
lot of things on the list. 4 years old, she wants an iPad, by the way. You see a lot of that, Santa Claus?
Santa Claus sees so many kids now playing with computer. When Santa Claus were a kid, Santa Claus didn't have a computer. You know what Santa Claus had? Santa Claus had Etch-A-Sketch. And if you try to get on internet with Etch-A-Sketch, that don't work. That don't work at all.
Let's move on. Let's go to line 1. This is little Solomon who wants to speak to Santa Carl. Solomon is on the line, and he is 7. Solomon, you're on with Santa Carl. Go ahead.
Now, hold up. What kind?
Hi.
Hi. You name Solomon?
Yes.
Like that dude who chopped a baby in half.
Okay. He doesn't even know about that story yet, Santa Carl.
Okay. Well, Solomon, have you been a little good little boy or girl this Christmas?
Wait, what? Have you been a good boy? Yes.
Yeah, well, okay. Tell Santa Claus about what good things you do then this Christmas.
I follow directions.
Okay, that's good.
And I clean the litter box.
You what?
I clean the litter box.
Santa Claus don't know what this kid's saying. And that's the thing. Don't call Santa Claus and laugh on the phone. Santa Claus don't want to hear laughter
He's
of children.
He's excited. Solomon is excited to be talking to Santa Claus.
Santa
Let him have it.
Want
to
hear a list, and Santa Claus maybe want to hear some tears.
Solomon, tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas this year.
That's good, Big. Thank you.
$2,000?
What? Hold up. Now, this kid sounds like a little joker to me. $2,000 for Solomon? You want $2,000?
Yeah.
Well, Santa Claus say, you best go play the lotto then, because that Mega Millions, that's where you're going to get that money. That's what Santa Claus don't say. $636 million. How much lotto ticket?
Well, unfortunately, that lottery was won last night.
That's $1.
$1, yes.
How the hell that makes sense? Buy $1, get $636 million.
Because millions of people around the country feed into the jackpot by buying tickets, Santa Claus.
You know what? Carl Malone, Mama Malone used to say, a three-legged dog can't lead a horse to water, but can make him drink.
Okay.
Solomon, you ain't getting nothing this Christmas.
Oh.
And Solomon, no,
that's not true.
That's Solomon. Santa Claus putting his big old foot down and putting his elbow through your throat.
Thank you for the call, Solomon. That's not true. Santa Carl didn't mean it. He loves you, and he loves all the little children of the world.
No,
he
don't.
Let's move on now. Let's go to Angel. Angel is on line 8 for you,
Santa Carl. Oh, what a cute little girl. Hello, Angel.
Angel is 7.
Hello, Angel. Have you been a good little girl this year?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell Santa Carl about what a good girl you've been.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, boy.
You a
Santa,
boy?
Santa Carl, Angel is a boy, he's telling
Hold
you.
Hold up. What the hell? What the hell kind of name? Name him Boy Angel. That's a dang thing right there. And that's, you know what? Santa Claus want to talk to your parents right now, because that's a hell of a thing to do to a boy named Angel. Angel, girl. Angel got wings. Angel wear a dress. Well, Angel hover around the dead.
Angel's very common with boys now. Santa Claus, very popular name.
That's why Santa Claus don't like it. A lot of things very common. All sorts of things very common right now. Santa Claus do not approve.
Angel, Santa Claus loves you, and he's glad you called. What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
I want Hot Wheels.
Okay, that's cheap. Yeah. Yeah, Santa Claus, bring you Hot Wheels.
All right. Mission accomplished. Thank you very much.
Santa Claus don't even care if Angel been good or bad. Angel been cursed with a dang name. That's for sure.
So he deserves Hot Wheels. All right. We only have time for one more call, unfortunately, okay. Santa Claus. The time goes by so fast. Let's go to little Rocco. Rocco is on line 5.
Hello, Taco.
Rocco, and he is 4 years old, Santa, so please be careful with him.
What's up, Taco? Happy Christmas time. Have you been a... Sound like he say trick or treat. You done have a butt sausage. Is that what you said, Taco?
Is that what you said? Yes? Okay, what do you want to tell you want for Christmas?
Uh-huh.
What?
What the hell? This a party line some kind?
I think they got the radio on, Santa Claus. What is?
Oh, they got the radio on. You know what, Santa Claus? We're out.
A little bubbly from McDonald's and
what?
And a Sonic Head chucked up animal. It has to be wet, and his name is Knuckles.
I think what Taco said is he won't get McDonald's, and he want to choke an animal.
That's
a dang thing right there, and Santa Claus mad. Now, it's okay to hunt animal, okay to shoot squirrel. That's good. Santa Claus loves shoot squirrel. In fact, Santa Claus make happier than that. Here's a little dancing squirrel, and and they come on right down from that tree. It's like they could fly. But
I don't think
for
the
Taco
kids
to say that he won't choke a squirrel, well, that's a dang thing. And Santa Claus ain't bringing nothing to that house.
I think we misunderstood. But Rocco, thank you so much for the call. Ladies and gentlemen,
Merry
Santa
Christmas.
Carl stopping by the camera. Happy holidays to you, Santa Carl.
Happy holiday to you and all the cows and all that crap you got up there, big.
Here comes Santa Carl. Here comes Santa Carl.
Is that of Monsters and Men? Is that what we're just listening to right now?
Shh. Yes, it is.
They're one of the bands.
My hammock on the ship.
Oh, sorry. That's your favorite part. They're one of the bands playing the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. We got pit tickets and backstage passes. You can win to see that band along with Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Imagine Dragons, so much more. Those tickets on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph, you know about all things sexy time. Tell me about the feeders. Tell me about that community.
Well, there are a certain percentage of both men and women who find obese members of the opposite sex attractive. It's primarily a male fetish. They like large women, BBWs as they're known, big, beautiful women. And some of them have an extreme case of this paraphilia where they want the woman bigger and bigger and bigger. And some of them get erotic pleasure out of actually causing that. So they feed their women and they get a sexual or sensual release from feeding the person as well, because they know they're making them larger and larger and larger as they spoon pitchforks of spaghetti onto their plate.
Yeah. Well, not only is a 23-year-old Tammy Jung a Los Angeles fetish model, but her boyfriend, Johan Uberman, who is 28, seems to love her. Helps her out by pouring milkshakes down her throat using a beer bong-like device.
Now
at one
we're
point,
talking.
She also has a website called sexysignaturebbw.com where you can, for a fee, you can pay to be a member and watch her eat and watch, you know, videos of her in little bikinis and things like that. So let's meet Tammy. I think you're all going to find her deeply attractive.
While many women in their 20s watch what they eat, 23-year-old Tammy Young works tirelessly to put on weight. Tammy from West Hollywood, California, is a gainer, and she's actively trying to become as fat as possible.
You want one of these?
I weigh myself every morning to see how much I'm going to eat throughout the day, how much I need to take in, making sure I didn't lose any weight, and I weigh myself at night to see the work that I did and be proud of myself.
So she's the opposite of every other human on Earth, where she's upset if she jumps on the scale and she's a couple pounds down.
I don't think that ever happens to her.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen accidentally.
How big a fear is that really on her part that she's lost some weight during the day while she's getting milkshakes blown down her gullet?
Since she's been covered by the media, by the way, she is averaging 49 pounds every 6 months, and she hopes to keep going for the next couple of years to get to her goal weight, which is somewhere in the 400s.
Beer Mug is so jealous.
He is.
Although better than I am at it.
Beer Mug's right behind her, though. Let's find out a little bit about what she eats, shall we?
Currently, Tammy weighs 16 and a half stone, but with the help of her boyfriend, Johan, she hopes to more than double her weight.
229.5. It's not so good. Make me 8 waffles, cottage cheese and cream cheese, bacon, chocolate milk, syrup, maybe some donuts, a cookie, a chocolate bar. Yeah, that should be good.
Now, Beer Mug had that this morning.
Her boyfriend, Johan, Ralph, will he get sexual pleasure out of preparing all of that food? Is that part of the fantasy? Is that he's actually the one who's making the food that's making her so fat?
Yes, the feeder gets off on making his beloved fatter. That's part of the attraction. I mean, he doesn't get any sort of sexual release from it, but it's an exciting, titillating experience for them.
This is like, it's like foreplay,
yeah,
and then
right.
And then the sex is actually feeding it to her, right?
Right.
Despite her tender years, Tammy's obsession with getting bigger has already dramatically altered her appearance.
A long time ago, I used to be very insecure. It was never good enough. I was always fat, always thought myself as fat, until I hit that goal weight, about, you know, 180 to 200, where I just woke up in the morning and just felt the best I've ever felt in my whole life.
Now, it's so fascinating. She's only 23 years old. But when you see these pictures of her from what I assume is 4 or 5 years ago when she was in high school and she looked like she was a cheerleader, she looked fantastic. I mean, she looked like a regular, normal, healthy girl. She didn't even look fat at all. But she must have had some sort of issues where she felt like she was never as thin as she wanted to be. And it sounds to me like she got to a point where she gained enough weight that she just said, now I'm not going back. It's just too hard to lose the weight. I'm going to own it and go in the other direction.
It seems like there's a slingshot effect with her obsession with her weight. She was obsessed about being thin, and then she just flipped the switch, and now she's obsessed about being fat.
Yeah, and she gets upset with herself now. She's not gaining enough quick enough.
So she's not happy with herself because she wasn't thin enough, and now she's not fat enough.
And she's very pretty, too, by the way, which is, you know, if she were ugly, I wouldn't care that she's fat. But I hate to see a pretty girl taken out of circulation by this. You know what I'm saying?
Although, you know, I'm sorry, if you're a BBW fan, that is the ultimate. If you can find a pretty girl who's also huge, that's the golden ring right there.
That's Tammy.
Tammy's eating exploits have gained her an army of admirers who watch her gorge on fatty foods in videos which she makes and posts online.
Hi, it's Sexy Signature, and today I'm going to be playing with my doughy, big, plump belly.
So that's one of the things they do is they just jiggle that and rub that. And
watch my doughy belly. Doughy belly on the side station.
She told the Huffington Post, by the way, I start the day with a huge breakfast of waffles, cream cheese, bacon, and sausage. Then I head to McDonald's for a few burgers in the afternoon. Mm. I can snack on cheese all day. A couple of blocks of cheese is no problem. Then for dinner, I'll have pizzas or Mexican food. At the end of the day, I make a weight gain shake from heavy whipped cream and a whole tub of ice cream, which Johan feeds me through a funnel. The funnel forces me to drink the shake, even when I'm full after a day of eating. So she's almost like a competitive athlete where she's just looking for that incentive just to, you know, to run that extra mile or whatever it is she needs to do to get where she wants to be.
You don't get to the top bean without working hard, okay?
Apparently
she's got the eye of the tiger. She's got the stomach of the tiger.
I get a lot of different requests from fans. People have told me I've done the best videos that they've ever seen.
However, not everyone agrees with Tammy's lifestyle. Her best friend, Samantha, worries for her health.
When Tammy told me she was doing it on purpose, I kind of freaked out and got very upset and scared for... I want her to be able to be here for a long time.
Now it's getting all sad, though. We're supposed to be having fun here.
Just hearing what she likes to eat makes me tired. It seems like just an exhausting way to live.
It's not something you'd be able to do more than once. I mean, you might be able to force yourself to do it once, but could you ever have the stomach to wake up tomorrow, Ralph, and eat the same thing again?
No, it's like I said, I'm just tired just hearing about it.
You'd feel miserable, right?
Yeah.
And Tammy's doctor has concerns of his own.
She is causing her life to be shorter. She is taking the risk of dying early.
However, Tammy remains unrepentant.
After seeing the doctor, it's not going to change my goal. I still want to hit 250. I still want to hit 300. Mm. I don't feel like I'm sacrificing my youth. I feel like I'm only enhancing my life.
And Tammy has supersized dreams for the future.
My career ambition is to become as popular as possible, and I hope I just continue to make lots and lots of money like I'm doing.
Despite the risks involved, Tammy is determined to make it big.
233.5. I gained weight today. Today was a good day.
You gained 5 pounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go, the happy couple.
Well, at least she's stupid. So that helps. She'll be fat and stupid at the end of the day.
Fat girl's fat.
All right, so look, everybody has different tastes on lots of things. It's very rare to find a group of people who are all going to agree on one thing. But we were all knocked back on our heels this week when it somehow came up in conversation. We're talking about the holidays and Christmas music, and it somehow came up in conversation that Beer Mug hates the song Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. But I think I'll miss this one this year. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Now, I would have guessed that would be in the top 5 Christmas songs of all of us. I would think that that's just a modern-day classic that makes every one of us happy when we hear it on the radio.
In terms of rock pop Christmas songs, which there are very few,
right?
It's got to be top 3, I think.
Yeah. It's one of the best.
Me
one
too.
Of the
I best. Think so, too. Absolutely. How can you be so wrong?
Classic. Here's why.
Well, first of all, you're Jewish. So why should we listen to you about Christmas music? Why should we listen to you about Christmas?
Nothing
music?
To do with
before
it.
Before you tell us why. Also, we need to remember that Bean runs or ran a blog, Christmas Music 365 Days a Year. Yeah, he's
right, but I don't think
he's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Exactly.
He's obsessed.
Right. But I don't think that I'm speaking out of turn here. I think I'm speaking as just a general Christmas music enthusiast that most K-Rock listeners like Christmas Wrapping. That's
right,
all
I hear you.
Don't you think that's don't you
so
agree
far
with that?
That's accurate.
Yes.
Everyone likes it except for Beer Mug.
Here's why.
What's wrong, Muggs? One Christmas Eve, I ran a 7-hour K-Rock Christmas countdown show.
Okay.
And that song was featured over 8 times. And by
Can I tell you why?
Because
the people love it.
Well, by the 5th time, I wanted to blow my head off, and I didn't
want to. Why didn't you go with that impulse?
Well, I couldn't find a gun.
Damn it.
Wait, this is a one-night thing?
This was a one-night thing.
And you heard it 8 times? That's all?
It killed me.
I heard it 170,000 times in my life,
but
I love it.
It was condensed within a 7-hour time period, I heard it. And I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't hear the, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It was just driving me nuts. And I don't like it, and I never want to hear it again. And please do not play it again.
Well, you know how to work me.
Merry yeah, but that was just you.
Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this
but
one
Mugs.
This year. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. But isn't that like saying Ralph went to Las Vegas one time and drank so much that he was sick?
Right.
Does that mean he's never going to drink again? Or does that mean he's going to sober up and the 3 months are going to go by and he's going to feel like drinking again?
Yeah, but
you get back on the horse.
Drinking alcohol and listening to music, I think, are two different things. Once something gets stuck in your head, you guys know it. It drives you nuts.
Right. Even songs that I despise that get stuck in my head, I sort of start to like them. I think later.
You only hear it once a year.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like
in
every
June
day
this song is haunting you.
No, but when I do hear it that one time a year, it's terrible.
All right, yeah, we need
just another reason to fire you.
Oh, come on.
We need to know if Muggs is the worst or not. We need to take your calls.
1-800. Do we really need to solve that mystery?
520-1067. We're talking about Christmas songs that you hate.
There's Ralph. So many bad Christmas songs.
There
Any
are a
picks
lot.
On Christmas rapping?
I don't understand that either. All right, I'm going to say this because, and I know Kevin wants to exclude me from this conversation because I am too invested
you like
in Christmas.
All Christmas enthusiasts.
But I don't pretend to be any kind of an expert, but it is a subject that I'm interested in. And I will tell you that I've read a lot about Christmas music and people's reactions to Christmas music over the years. I opened up a blog. And I will tell you that there are really
read
only
all the science on it.
Yeah. There are really only two songs that consistently come in at the top of virtually every list you ever see of the worst Christmas songs of all time. And I think we might as well get those two out of the way first. And then let's come back and take some calls from listeners
all
about
right.
the Christmas songs that they hate the most at 1-800-520-1067. All right. These are the two songs that are at the top of every Christmas list when you see worst songs of all time. Grandma Got Run Over by a Mother Effin' Reindeer.
Yeah.
Oh. If it was a Mother Effin' Reindeer, that song might be better.
That song is the worst. It really
that's the
is.
One that you hate, Ralph?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's your song. That's the one you pick, Ralph.
Above all others, I think I hate them. Well, no, there's a couple other ones. But that
What's
one...
your problem with it? Is it it's stupid?
Yes, and it's redneck. You know how I feel about the redneck.
You love it.
Don't like them. It's inane, and it's juvenile, and it's redundant. And if you've heard it once, and, you know, the first time you hear it, it's just not funny. But the 18th time you heard it,
right?
It's anti-funny. It makes you less funny for having heard it.
But they're trying to decide whether they should open up the gifts or send them back, Ralph.
Send them back!
do we have a clip of Elmo
and
Patsy?
We don't.
That'd be great if
How
we did.
How do we not have a clip from that?
I don't know. That's a
I'll
good
tell you
question.
How, because Omar says, I don't need to write him down. I got it.
That happened yesterday.
It would have been
meeting.
So much more effective.
In the meeting, Ralph looked at Omar and said, are you writing these down?
Do
and he said,
that's
in my head. No, he says it's in there now. Find it.
Find it.
This is good times.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer. That's on half the Christmas lists of the worst song of all time. The other one, Ralph, Grandma Was Yours. This one happens to be mine. So we're a good test group here. And that is a song that came out in 2000 that still gets played a lot by a group that called themselves New Song. And the song is called Christmas Shoes. You guys know it?
I do.
I don't think I do. Here we go.
She's been sick for quite a while. Know these shoes will make her smile. Want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
That's a sweet song.
That has everything.
Are you already teary-eyed?
That's a sweet song. I cry every time I hear it.
But
are
wow,
you kidding me?
But what no. a bummer song.
It is a huge bummer.
Mama is dying tonight.
It's about a little boy who doesn't have money to buy his mom's shoes. He wants to give her one last Christmas present.
Oh.
Do yourself a favor.
It's devastating.
Ralph and everybody, and look at Patton Oswalt's hilarious comedy routine that he does where he dissects the song line by line. It really is so funny.
Yeah.
Whereas Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer, they're trying to be funny. This song, they're trying to be serious, but
yeah.
it's just so overwrought and hysterical that you can't take it seriously. It sounds like a joke.
It's a horribly sentimental song.
Right.
Over the top.
Over the top. Right. Very sentimental, but it makes me cry every time I hear it.
Why does that work for you? That seems like the opposite of the type of song that would work for you.
I don't love it, but it just kills me. It's about a little kid and losing his mother. My God, how do you not cry when you hear that song?
As Patton
well,
asked,
you can't ask Bean that, but
that's
the rest
true.
Of us.
I expect Bean to have a heart. It's like asking Beer Mug to get work done.
But again, this is not me being a weirdo. This is, as I said, it's on the top of most lists of the worst Christmas songs of all time. And as Patton Oswalt asked in his routine, since when did Jesus get all bitchy about what footwear you're wearing when you get into heaven?
He's a little kid who doesn't understand. He just wants to get his mom new shoes. He wants to give her a Christmas present.
He's an a-hole for trying to pay in pennies. That's what he is. All right.
Little kid shows up. With a handful of coins trying to buy his mom a present. And Bean wants to pick on that child.
Yep, that's a terrible song.
You're
it's
a horrible
terrible,
human being.
Terrible song.
I wish
All
you
right.
a cartoon death.
So we got the waitresses. We got Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer. We got the kid with the new shoes. Give us a call. What's your least favorite Christmas song? The one that drives you crazy? You hate it when it comes on every holiday season. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
You can say that. I can't remember the words.
By the way, we're talking about the worst Christmas songs of all time here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can also weigh in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, or on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. That's a song, Like Your Precious Christmas Shoes, Ralph, that was so popular that they turned into a book and also turned into a movie.
Yeah.
That grandma song. All right, let's go to Dennis. He's on line 8. He gets us going here at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you guys doing?
We are good.
What's up?
Feliz Navidad.
What? How do you not like Feliz Navidad?
Makes me want to run my car into a wall.
Feliz Navidad.
That's a great song.
Feliz Navidad.
Christmas song you can shake your ass to.
Feliz Navidad.
We also got on Twitter, Jenny writes in and says, Feliz Navidad, I can't stand it. The guy just repeats two lines for three minutes.
That's true.
That's a lot of Christmas songs, though.
Yeah,
a lot of songs.
A lot of these. If you want to hate a Hispanic Christmas song, hate that freaking Mamacita, Donde Está Santa Claus? That thing is a freaking nightmare.
That song.
Now I know you should die and go to hell. You hate that song about a little kid buying his mom's shoes, but the horribly stereotypical racist Mamacita, Donde Está Santa Claus song? That's on your
list. I hope he won't forget.
And Pedro? Why don't you just put a sombrero on the kid and have him take a nap?
Let's go to Greg. He's calling about the Christmas rape song. He's on line 5. This is one of the most disturbing songs in Christmas music history. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin B. Hi, Lisa May. How are you doing?
We're good.
I really don't like Baby It's Cold Outside just because it sounds like she's going to get raped.
I have no idea what you're talking about, either of you.
It's only in the mind of you and Bean, Greg.
No.
Everyone else, it's a beloved Christmas song.
Baby, It's Cold Outside is a song that goes back to the 1940s, and it's a girl who's trying to leave the guy's apartment, and he keeps giving all sorts of excuses as to why she can't go, because it's snowing out and it's dangerous, and he's essentially roofying her and having his way with her.
What are you talking about?
Damn it, you're creepy. It's not so rapey.
Have you looked at the lyrics of that song? Have you heard that song?
I used to sing that song.
Here's a tip. Not surprised.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Bean, you're sick.
You're a twisted effort.
You're sick because they're both having fun in that song.
And she's like fighting against what she really wants to do. It's like, oh, my, you know, the neighbors will talk.
Right.
And my mom's waiting up for her, but she really wants to stay and party
There's
with
no
this guy.
Coercion.
Yeah, you're
That's
right,
all
Ralph.
In your
you're
mind.
Right. No doesn't mean no. You're absolutely right. All right, let's move on to Brianna. She's on line 2.
Bean's upset because it didn't work when he tried.
Yeah. Brianna's got another one that's on a lot of lists of the worst Christmas songs of all time.
Hi, Brianna.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, I hate Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
I don't think I know that.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, do I?
Do we have a clip of that, of Wonderful Christmas Time?
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Brianna.
It's awful.
It's pretty simple.
You're right, Brianna, it's awful.
Come on, Bean, it's pretty simple. Come on,
that song is awful. Yeah.
Kevin, it's pretty simple is not a compliment. You understand
that?
No, but it's not harsh enough.
I'm
saying it's simple. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why it gets so repetitive and people dislike it so much.
It's a typical McCartney song. It's like just a bunch of bad rhymes.
His later second graders wrote his music career.
Lights them up. I have a pop. And it's not a cat. It's where it's at.
Here's one that you'll love hearing from, Ralph. This is Michelle. She writes down on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. My least favorite Christmas song of all time. Honestly, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, I hate
Remember that,
that
one
so much.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy.
That sounds like an older woman doing a child's voice. Is that true?
She's 11. Gail Peavy singing that song is 11 years old. Still alive today, by the way, living
in
Oklahoma.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Cartoon death.
I want her to get a hippopotamus for Christmas because they kill more people in the wild than lions or elephants.
That is true.
I would like a hippopotamus to maul her to death.
All right, let's get a couple more on. Mike is on line one. He's got another I think controversial choice for the worst Christmas song.
Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing? What's up, Lisa May?
Hello.
Hey, so and keep in mind when I say this, I am all about Christmas. I love Christmas.
Okay.
I just cringe when Santa Baby comes on.
Oh. Stands a baby, slip a stable under the tree. Tonight.
It does seem like it's trying too hard with the sexy Santa puns a little bit.
Wrong.
I feel that way, too.
No, I love it because of that.
How many sexy Christmas songs are there?
And it's usually sung by someone hot.
A hot chick who wants to get nailed under the Christmas tree.
Right.
Yes, that's why men like it, Beans.
That's all good.
I enjoyed watching Maria Menounos singing on last week's Mindy, by the way.
Oh,
you guys
would
like to see that. All right, let's do one more on the phones, and then I've got one to take us out. Johnny is on line six. Another very controversial choice, I think. I think we're gonna be split on this one.
Yeah. Johnny, hi.
Good morning, everybody. Do they know it's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
Now, what's your problem there?
Stop playing that. Please.
You're high.
Why? Why don't you like it? Because you want little kids to starve?
Well, you know that part that says, here's to you, raise your glass to everyone, here's to them, underneath the burning sun. It just gets me upset. It really upsets me.
Get you upset.
It makes me...
I'm not positive here. I think Johnny's trying to be funny by stealing...
I think he is, but he's failing miserably.
By stealing the throw-up thing.
Again, all right. In terms of rock pop songs, it's got to be top three of all-time Christmas.
I think so, too.
Rock pop
I think
songs.
It's a modern classic and deservedly so. Let me close with one more. You guys decide. The great Tiny Tim will close out this segment on Christmas songs. You tell us whether this is one of the best or one of the worst songs of all time. I'm sure you know it.
Oh, this is Santa Claus saying I won't be around this year. I'm a bit sick. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Oh,
and he won't be around to spread his Christmas cheer.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
What? The reindeer all look blue. They know what he's going through. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
I'm in. I don't know about you guys.
That's a terrible song on every level. You're bringing AIDS into it, making fun of it.
It's not me, it's Santa.
No, it's just whoever wrote it, that's a terrible, terrible Christmas song.
Beans a joy to work with.
He needs to be arrested, doesn't he?
Put down.
Going to talk to a real-life professional baseball player in about a half an hour. You know that always makes me a little bit nervous, Kevin.
Yeah,
I love the baseball players.
Bean is speechless around certain baseball players, and I've never seen him that way around any other celebrity.
Nope, you're right.
I think I'll be fine. I think I'm over it. Right. I think I had a lot of trouble with that in the early days, but I do really look up to baseball players so much. And I don't know why, because most of them are doofuses. But C.J. Wilson, pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, joins us in about a half an hour. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up. Speaking of movies, Jeremy Irons in the news. This is a guy who, even if you don't know his name, you would totally recognize his face. He's been in a million movies. Won an Oscar previously, but he was in The Man in the Iron Mask. He was in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Dead Ringers is the movie I think of him in. Reversal of Fortune, Damage. He's just one of those guys who's just a real strong British actor, good-looking guy. He's got the big, deep voice.
Yeah.
And he's in a controversial situation right now, which is, I think some people are kind of misinterpreting because he doesn't have a problem with same-sex marriage. He's a libertarian. He's like, I don't care who wants to get married. But he was given an interview to HuffPost Live, and here's the point he brought up that I don't think anybody has considered when you're debating same-sex marriage.
Could a father not marry his son?
Well, there are laws against incest.
It's not incest between men. Incest is there to protect us from having inbreeding. But men don't breed, therefore they... So incest wouldn't cover that. Now, if that was so, then if I wanted to pass on my estate without death duties, I could marry my son and pass on my estate to him.
No, that sounds like a total red herring.
So, you have to agree.
Kevin, do you see a lot of sons and fathers wanting to run out and get married if gay marriage turns out to be legalized?
According to Jeremy, we really need to worry about that.
Well, we wanted to find out if we were just reading too much into it or misinterpreting it, so we asked producer Dave if he could line up Mr. Irons, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Jeremy.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
Good.
Do you feel like you sort of stepped in it a bit?
No,
you
not
don't.
At all. No. Huh. I believe many people are not considering all the ramifications of what could happen if same-sex marriage is actually approved.
Could you clarify your level of concern that fathers and sons will want to marry, though? Because
yes.
That seems real unlikely, sir.
I have a real fear that fathers and sons will be getting married if we have same-sex marriage legalized in America.
Sounds absurd to us.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it really does.
Well, you won't believe that when your son or father comes to you and says, let's get married.
That would never happen.
Oh, but it will.
No, but is there something in your...
Oh, but it will.
Is there something in your family that you'd like to tell us about?
No, but my fear is my son comes to me and says, let's keep all the money in the family and let's get married and live together and you put on a dress and I'll put on a tutu, and the next thing you know, we're all eating ham sandwiches out of the back of a van.
I'm not sure how we got to the van, but so basically, you're not talking about it in a sexual way at all. It's basically just a tax dodge. That's what your fear is.
Yes, and my fear is that it will dilute the quality of marriage and the significance of marriage. First, fathers and sons will begin to wed. I think we can all agree on that.
What? No one.
The next thing you know, women will be marrying toasters. Because what better way to get free toast than to be married to your toaster? And then, out of obligation, your toaster has to provide you all the free toast you can consume. And the next thing you know, you're eating ham sandwiches.
Why are you eating ham sandwiches out of a van?
And are these ham sandwiches made with toast? Because that just is weird.
Of course they are. Because the woman's toast husband would be providing her with all the toast she can eat. And then the ham sandwich.
Now, will the ham sandwich marry the van at any point?
Don't be silly. That's
ridiculous.
A toaster and a van can't be married. It's madness.
All right. So you got dad marrying Junior.
Right.
Then you've got mom marrying the toaster.
Yes. Or right. Another household appliance, perhaps a coffee maker or
sure.
A Cuisinart.
Right.
But my fear is women and household appliances will then begin to breed. And then we have large legions of cyborg type half human, half machines. Walking through the streets.
This is a real fear of yours.
You okay, Mr. Irons? Jerry?
And the next thing you know, they're all eating ham sandwiches.
Ham sandwiches in the back of the van. Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up for us, sir.
Look, it was only a matter of time before Dr. Drew's head exploded. You can't keep going at the pace he's going and stay sane, right? He's doing his HLN show Monday through Fridays at 6. He's got all those podcasts available through drdrew.com and podcast.1. He's doing Loveline 5 nights a week.
Right.
He's still a practicing physician.
So you know they're somewhere in the middle of the night he's kicking puppies or something.
He's going to snap.
Right.
And I think he has, and I think it's time for an intervention with our good friend Dr. Drew. Hey, Doc, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show for what will probably be our last chat for 2013. How are you, sir?
Dave, King of Mexico just told me that. It's the last for the year, and I guess that's what's happened. I do not kick puppies. I've not become violent. But you're right. I think I've finally lost my mind.
I think you lost it.
That's it.
It's so rare for Bean and I, and we've hosted Loveline before, and we have no answers. We just look at Dr. Drew, and he seems to have all the answers, and he's forever calm.
Yes.
He never loses it.
You can't rattle him. You can't rattle him. No matter how heinous something is, you talk to Dr. Drew about the crocodile stuff that people are injecting into their vaginas and their legs are falling off, and they just like nothing phases him. But he's finally getting to the point where he's starting to lose it. Their cracks are showing.
Yeah, it's really like the movie Networkers. Was that the movie called?
Yes.
Like,
yep. Yeah,
that
was it.
Yeah. 2014 is the year where I fight back. That's
well, it was Acoustic Christmas this past weekend. You came out on the stage with Psycho Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And we just posted the video of that.
Oh, great.
which we've spent a lot of time tracking down and making sure that we had for this conversation.
Oh, fantastic.
Here's the audio of it when Dr. Drew loses it.
It was supposed to stay in the theater. That was the whole point.
No! Are you kidding?
Nothing stays in the theater.
Oh, my God.
This is the only thing that we've gone out of our way to requisition and make sure we get.
Oh, my God.
Here's Dr. Drew on stage at Acoustic Christmas.
Everybody, it's a new year coming up. Happy holidays. Thanks for all the support to Loveline. And I just want to set a couple things straight, Mike.
Go ahead, Dr. Drew. Go ahead.
People keep pinning on me this notion that I'm against legalization of pot. I am not. People that keep pinning that on me need to kiss my ass. Thank you. New year, my new resolution. That's that.
That happened.
Later, buddy. See you later.
So, what was going through your mind there, Dr. Drew?
I'm just so tired of people accusing me of so many things that I've always just sort of ducked and just said, all right, whatever people want to say about me. I can't fight back as they twist it.
Right.
And some of it, I've had a tough year, guys. I had a big surgery this year. I've been tired. I'm not tired anymore. It's over.
Oh, you were tired this weekend.
I'm setting things straight. I'm tired of things being pinned on me. And what I was thinking as I walked out there, I thought, you know, I just because I've said that cannabis, marijuana is addictive, alcohol is addictive too. Alcohol is addictive, but I don't think it should be illegal. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so everybody that is claiming that you're behind the non-legalization of pot is wrong.
I'm really neutral. I'm very neutral. I think that I love our society. We have a wonderful system. The people need to decide, and then I'll be there to help deal with whatever the consequences are. I don't care. I don't care if it's voted up or voted down. Enjoy, everybody. Enjoy.
And kiss his effing ass.
I told you, I lost my mind, guys. It's over.
Now, before we move on to part two of the meltdown, is part of what's going on here, Dr. Drew, that you are one of the few healthcare professionals who's out there saying that marijuana is addictive? Do most people disagree with your views on that?
No, it would actually be malpractice to say that it is not. It is. It's that the world of legalization, anything other than it's the most glorious, wonderful substance ever created by God, is attacked. And I have no problem with it. I don't want to bum anybody's high in regards to anything. Don't pin it on me. Enjoy, everybody. And by the way, I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen in Colorado and Washington. It'll be very interesting. I'm worried about big cannabis taking over just the way big tobacco did. It's a plant that grows in the ground that has a sort of
magical properties.
Yeah, just like tobacco, magically. Oh, well, some business is going to come in and take advantage of that. That concerns me.
No cancer.
No cancer.
All right.
No
cancer. So take it down a notch.
No, I'm not saying it's better or worse than anything. Okay. I'm fine with it all.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right, thing two. We heard several reports from folks who were in the audience at Acoustic Christmas on Saturday night, the night that Miley Cyrus showed up, that she was booing you. What have you heard about that? And tell me what has happened since that moment.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Because since then, I've had a Twitter exchange with her mom, Tish.
Oh, really?
Who said she was going to set Miley straight because she likes my HLN show and she's a very big sport. And I thought, I actually Twittered back to the woman that Twittered me the pictures of Miley sticking your tongue out at me, not like the little bear stick tongue. I was like, screw you, stick your tongue out.
Yeah.
And I said, weird, because we've talked about her, and I've gone out of my way to say, Miley's great. She's fine. She is not sick. Amanda Bynes, that was mental illness.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, that was mental. Miley is just an artist who, by the way, has had immense success with the choices she's made. She may be acting out a little bit, but whatever, she's not sick.
You have been sort of going out of your way to be nice to her.
I really, because I think I want people to understand, what you're seeing there is different than we saw with, say, an Amanda. We should understand that difference. It's an important difference. But so, then I thought, oh, I know what it is. She thinks I'm the anti-pot guy.
Oh, I see.
She's pinning that BS on me that I get pinned on me, and that's actually what got me all worked up.
So Saturday night, Miley was booing you.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night, you came out and responded.
I think that's how it went down. But I remember that was the last straw for me. I'm like,
kiss gotcha. My ass.
Thank you.
We do have that isolated, Dr. Drew, and we will be using that all next year.
It'll be a loop. That's fabulous.
So is there any chance you think, because I think it would be fascinating to have, because she's such a great interview, any chance you can get Miley on Loveline?
Oh, she's welcome. Any moment of any day, we'll interview her anytime. The mom, I think, is going to come on HLN.
Okay.
So I'll have Tish on.
The mom seems to be fighting a lot of her battles.
Mom is very cool. Her parents are lovely people. They really are. And mom has sort of given me the details about Miley that allows me to say with great clarity, she's fine. She really
okay.
is.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know,
I'm concerned about you at this point, Dr. Drew. What are you going to do for Drew over the holidays? You taking some time off? You taking your beautiful bride away? You going to get on a beach or something and just kind of chill, decompress before you hit the ground running in January?
Yes. I'm going to something called rehab.
Rehab.
I'm going to rehab. God only knows where
TMZ has already
that
pulled
is.
That quote for an article. You know that.
But we're actually going to go to Europe for a couple weeks. So we're leaving, and maybe I'll return with a renewed peace and sense of peace and love. Peace and love, everybody. Maybe sensibility about me will be different. But I think it's 2014 is the year of kiss my A. I think that's what it is.
Kiss
okay.
my ass.
Now, when you hear that, Dr. Drew, how does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm. So much better. Although... embarrassed, ashamed, concerned, anxious. Are those all good feelings?
I don't know. I don't know the rest of it. You can watch Dr. Drew on call Monday through Friday nights on HLN. 5 nights a week here on Loveline, Sunday through Thursdays on KROQ. And, of course, the fine family of drdrew.com and podcast.com. I can never say that podcast. Dr. Drew, thanks for everything you've done for us in 2013. We'll look forward to seeing you next year, my friend.
You guys. Happy holidays.
It's an all-time holiday classic. Kevin's Bathroom Christmas Interviews here on KROQ.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Sorry, me?
Yeah.
That was good.
What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
Want to go spend it with family?
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I could bring that. Yeah, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You making a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You making a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here that looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
How the animals and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that? Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, don't you just love Christmas? What I mean? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Would you shut?
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Not right now.
What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't want to hear this, man.
Come on, it's jolly old Saint Dick.
highlights of the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 of Monsters and Men out of Iceland here on the world-famous K-Rock. They had played the year before, and the difference in their show, not just the difference in how much people knew and loved their music in the year that had passed, but the difference in their stage presence was incredible. I mean, they have really turned into a terrific live act.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of other bands that we saw last Saturday, including AWOL Nation and the Black Keys, also Imagine Dragons, all coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat in a few minutes, too. Anthony Weiner, back in the news. Lisa?
Anthony!
Remember him, your old friend?
Yeah.
It's so funny. It used to be, there was a time in this country where you resigned in disgrace, and that was the last you were ever heard of. You pretty much just stayed in your house and just wept. But now people wait like a year, 2 years, and they go, I'm ready to come back. And the American people turn out to be very, very forgiving. For folks who don't recognize the name, he was the congressman from New York who ended up having to resign because it turned out that he was tweeting pictures of his junk, basically, yes, to chicks all over the country.
Yes.
And for some reason, people thought, well, maybe he's not the best choice to represent me in Congress. So he resigned, and he laid low for a little while. And a while ago, he started an exploratory committee to see if maybe the people were ready to forgive him and forget. And he determined that he was popular enough that he could now run for the mayor of New York City.
Well, remember the dude that lied and went to Argentina to be with his mistress, and then yes, he left, and now he's been reelected. So yep, apparently, why not?
There was a mayor in Washington, D.C. who was caught doing crack cocaine with a hooker. He went to prison, got out of prison, ran for office again, and became the mayor again.
That's right.
So exactly. So I don't know what it's going to be like for Anthony Weiner. I don't know if it's the type of thing that it's just going to, you know, everywhere he goes, people are going to want to do nothing but talk about his penis, or if it's the type of thing that he's going to be willing to, you know, put behind him and move on. But we wanted to find out what the plan is and how it's going in the early days. So we have the congressman on the phone with us right now, Mr. Weiner. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. We were a little bit surprised to see you running for mayor, but you know, a longtime New York City resident, you say the people like you and support you, and you think you got a shot at it.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm back, because I love this city, and I think mm-hmm. I have a lot to offer. And I'm not about to allow anything that happened in the past to keep me from public service, which I truly believe is my calling.
And by the way, it's worth mentioning that your wife stayed with you, and you now have a child together, and she's your biggest supporter, and she says you're going to be a terrific mayor because you love the city, too.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. It has been a long and hard road to travel, and it's good to be back, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the future has to offer.
Speaking of long and hard, Mr. Weiner, it's very difficult to just be in the public eye, even if the scandal hadn't happened, with the last name of Weiner. That's the type of thing that you're kind of automatically giving people who don't support you the opportunity to kind of just unfairly, perhaps, snicker at your last name.
Yeah, but you have to remember it's been my name for as long as I've been alive, so I'm used to it, and I don't mm-hmm. even recognize you know, anything strange about the name, but I understand what you're saying, but I don't think really it's a factor or will be a factor in the mayoral race.
Especially when, you know, you have a last name of Weiner and then you're involved in a scandal with photographs that involve your Weiner.
Yeah, and it's not ideal, but I'm not about to let people's opinion of my name or anything I may have done in the past dictate what I do in the future. I'm just not going to do that. It would just... Yep, hold on a second.
What's happening?
My cell phone. That's my ringtone.
That's your ringtone?
Seems inappropriate.
Well, I don't understand. It's just it's my ringtone. Let me just turn that off. Sorry about that. Now, listen, I like my chances.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want to seem cocky, but I think that I think there's an excellent chance that I will be elected mayor, and, you know, not to have a swelled head about the situation, but I think people of New York will recognize what I have to offer for them. Listen, this is a large, throbbing metropolis, and there's a lot of great people in it. I think I can relate to people of all creeds. We've got one of the most diverse populations in America.
Yeah.
I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, Mr. Wang, an Asian gentleman who has some real issues that he wants addressed by a mayor, and I think that I can do that. Oh, hold on a second.
Another call coming in, yeah, Congressman. What's happening there?
Okay, let me just turn that off.
Yeah. What kinds of things have people been saying to you on the street as you meet people? Are people willing to accept and forgive and forget, as we thought?
Yes, I think much more so than the press, citizens are more concerned about what you can do for them as a politician than any
past indiscretions. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what the press prints, quite frankly, is nothing but fallacies. And I find a lot of their arguments flaccid, quite frankly, when they talk about me. Listen, I'm a multitasker. Mm-hmm. I can keep a lot of balls in the air. And any criticism against me, I think, is just in vain.
Oh, wow, that phone just won't stop ringing.
Well, as you can imagine, a lot of phone calls. Listen, don't get me wrong. I recognize that I'm up against some stiff opposition. But I feel I can hold my head erect in any public forum and really get my point across. I always go back to my college days when I was on crew. And when you hear that coxswain just yelling, stroke, 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 you just have to buckle down and get the job done. I mean, to use another sports metaphor, I am ready to strap on my helmet, go out there on the field, and score a touchdown.
Well, I don't see any reason why anyone would ever think about your penis when you talk like that. You'll be fine.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take this. This is my campaign manager, Mr. Baby's Arm Holding Enough.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. John Taffer joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. He, of course, from Bar Rescue on Spike TV. Also, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Some of your favorite people on the program today, Ralph.
It truly is. It's a me day.
And our pal Travis Barker from Blink-182 will
like
be here
him.
At
Do
night.
Not like him at all.
How dare you. I'll tell you someone you definitely don't like is Beer Mug.
Fire Beer Mug! Fire Beer Mug! Fire Beer Mug!
I'm starting to think that Santa Claus isn't real because every year I sit on that fat old man's lap and I ask him the same thing. Can you please fire Beer Mug? And every year it gets to be January and he's still working here. Yeah. So what the hell, old man? What the hell? We do send Beer Mug out on the red carpets, though, at every interview opportunity. And once a year, we'd like to look back at some of the greatest moments of the calendar year just passed. So it's time now for the top 10 Beer Mug interview questions of 2013.
The top Beer Mug interview moments. The top Beer Mug interview moments. The top Beer Mug interview moments. That's outrageous. When Beer Mug's on the case, he'll stick a microphone in your face. Questions, he's got none. He just yells, that is awesome. And when you think that is it, he says, that's fantastic. Yeah. Beer Mug is such a stud. Oh no, I mean he's a dud. Top Beer Mug interview moments. Let's go.
Sorry, we're all out of time, but thanks for listening to the Top Beer Mug interview moments.
One of the things I always notice and impressed about with Beer Mug is he's not a one-trick pony. He's not just bad in one direction. He's bad in all directions. He's got lots of different ways to screw up.
Yes.
And the first one is he just wears you down. Speaking of Avicii that we were just playing here on K-Rock, I believe this question was for Avicii in front of the Grammy roundtable this year. I think ahead of the Grammys this year, he caught up with that best-selling musician.
It seems like, you know, dance and electronic is really, like, not what, in, like, the last 4 years, I would say, just has exploded onto the scene, you know. People who were not originally, you know, tuned into it have, there's so many artists now, and I think it's great that it's really hit the scene hard.
That had everything but I'm a drummer in it.
Do you think it's great? I'm sure Avicii is really fascinated whether you think it's great or not. Yeah. Why do you say that? Why are you volunteering your opinion to him?
I think he wants to hear it. Right?
Why not take that an opportunity to ask a question of someone? We might learn something more about the artist.
You think
there wasn't a question?
Yeah,
there was
exactly.
No question.
I have no question.
That was Kevin-esque, by the way, in a scope,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was.
Very impressive. All right, we don't, it's lost to history who Muggs is talking to in clip number 9 of his top 10 interview moments, but this is at the Bad Grandpa red carpet. He's speaking with one of the actors in the film. And what I love about Beer Mug is his ability to come up with, to craft an instantly great follow-up question.
Now, you haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet, no.
This will be your first time.
Yes, absolutely.
I am excited to see it myself.
That just has everything, doesn't it?
It does.
We're at the Grammy Roundtable in February where Muggs catches up with Alabama Shakes. And again, a curious line of questioning at number 8.
So this is not your first time in Los Angeles, is it?
No, of course not.
No.
No.
Your experience when it comes to L.A.?
I mean, what am I? I'm experienced being on the earth.
Okay, you know? Okay.
Poor Brittany was just so lost. Like, what is she supposed to say to this guy?
You're experienced in L.A.
What does that mean?
God damn it.
Number 7, back to the Bad Grandpa red carpet. Tony Hawk shows up. Skateboarding legend Tony Hawk. And, well, Mug's got a great question for him.
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction. Mr. Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius, yeah. Right? Where could people find that?
Okay, now, Muggs.
Your show is on Sirius. Where could people find that? It's on Sirius, Muggs.
I meant the station, but yeah, that kind of sounded stupid.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Top
10 beer mug interview moments for 2013. You were in New York City. Was this the guy? Who was the guy you were talking to about how much you love being black?
It was one of those
Muggs. Do you remember?
It was one of the guys trying to sell their rap album on the street. Like
okay.
We have here on Hollywood and Highland. They have that in Times Square.
So yeah. Muggs has already told the guy that if you go back far enough in his family history, you're going to find some brothers. So he's already bragging. He's already trying to bond with the street musician, right?
Yeah.
Then he has this great exchange.
I love black
Where
guys.
Where are you from?
L.A.
What for? Compton?
No, I wish.
Sure. Who doesn't? It's a place that we all want to move to is Compton.
Did you think that he was going to buy that you wished you were from Compton? You wouldn't drive through Compton with your windows down. Why are you lying to the man?
I don't know. That was a scared little beer mug, I think, trying to just come up with something to make conversation.
Can we replay that really quickly so we can hear beer mug pandering to the gentleman by saying the first thing in the clip you'll hear is, I love black guys.
Yeah. Here we go. I think I got it. I'm sorry.
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction.
Well, that's Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius,
yeah.
Right? Where could people find that?
I'm sorry, I have it all in one file. Here's the one you want.
I love black
Where
guys.
Are you from?
L.A.
What for? Compton?
No, I wish.
Yeah, at the very beginning of that, you hear him say, I love black guys.
Right.
And if you don't hurt me, I'll love you any way you want me to.
Into the top five now of Beer Mug interview moments for 2013. He's talking to someone named Gavin. We don't know who. He's at the Teen Choice Awards. And, well, Muggs comes up with this one for Gavin.
So, Gavin, you're nominated tonight for anything?
I'm not nominated tonight.
I hear you were nominated for OC Music Awards.
I was last year for Best Youth Artist.
And how did that pan out?
I didn't win.
Damn it.
Great research on Gavin, his guest right there.
I like to find out information on the spot.
I can tell.
Now, Gavin, we don't remember exactly, but it seems to be like he's about 17 years old, which is why it's curious that Muggs goes into this line of questioning. Number four in his list is from the same interview.
So 25 years ago today, my buddy Dave told me this info that is escaping me. I can't remember right now. So just bear with me while I try to fill time.
Well, that doesn't sound like that clip.
That's exactly what that was. He's talking to a 17-year-old about something that happened 25 years ago today, but he has no idea what it is.
What?
What?
How is that even a thing?
Do you have any idea, Buzz?
Yeah,
you didn't remember?
No, my mind went just totally blank. It was just my ADD kicked in, and I was talking, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Hold on.
Wow, I've never heard anything more disjointed.
We are at the Video Music Awards now in New York City, and this is kind of a big interview for Muggs. He gets a chance to talk to Wands. He's the rapper/singer who sings the hook of Thrift Shop, the Macklemore song. Boy, does Beer Mug not want to talk to him. Boy, is Beer Mug looking for any way he can talk about anything other than whatever Wands got going on.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to. Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's. Nobody. Okay. Back to Wands. Sorry, Wands.
Wow. How insulting.
Truly.
So you won't talk to him, but you'll let him stand there while you just desperately seek anyone else you can call over on the red carpet so that you don't have to keep talking to him.
The more the merrier, Bean.
Good point.
Another classic beer mug moment from the same MTV VMAs in New York City is he sees Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson nearby, and he decides he's got to get her over.
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
I wonder why she didn't come over.
I love that.
How
so
could
much?
She not come over?
Really, with your supple voice there, just beckoning to her like a siren to a sailor.
And how does Jennifer Hudson become Jay Hutz, by the way? Is another question we've often had. All right. Well, I think it's clear. Beer Mug is on a roll for 2013. Here's his number one moment. And again, how could this person not have wanted to talk to him on the red carpet?
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez! Selena! God damn it!
Ladies and gentlemen, he's still got it. He's still got it. Hail Beer Mug.
The top beer mug interview moments. That's outrageous.
We've been playing the song called Royals quite a bit for the past few weeks here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, and we are very excited to welcome the young lady who wrote the song, sings the song, Lord, in studio with us on K-Rock right now.
Hi.
Hey, Lord. What's going on?
Well, it's pretty early in the morning.
Yeah,
but I'm kind of at the point where I've had so many different time zones that I'm like,
you don't have any idea where you are or what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about your travel schedule this week alone, because I do follow you on Twitter, and it does seem like they've been working you pretty hard this week.
I think I work myself quite hard. I'm like, no, I can do it. It's cool.
When did you leave New Zealand?
Friday morning.
Okay.
And then it took like 26 hours here or something. But then I got home Friday night, which
and
is
this
weird.
And when you say here, you mean America. You were in New York, right?
I was in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I flew yesterday morning to L.A., and I'm here till Saturday.
You're on a pace to die.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Right.
You know that. You're all right. Okay.
What do you do? How often have you made the trip from New Zealand to the United States on a plane?
This is actually my first time.
First time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge.
What did you do for 26 hours on a plane?
Oh, man.
That's about as long as you can spend on a plane going from point A to point B on the whole world.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I know. I just got like a really sore neck. Just cultivated that neck pain.
You watch movies?
I did, but then my laptop died.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Part way in.
Yeah.
And then you still have 23 hours left.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what do you do? Yeah.
Can you sleep on a plane?
Well, I discovered this thing called NyQuil.
Yeah.
Yes. Like great sleeping tool. But
then you wake up and you have 20 hours.
Yeah. What we're saying is it's a long flight.
Yeah.
So is this a stupid question? What do you think of America so far? I mean, it's probably a country that you have been familiar with because of the entertainment that we export around the world.
Absolutely.
And now you're finally here. Is it what you thought it would be like?
It's mental. Like, it's hard for me to believe that this country could exist in the same world that New Zealand exists in.
Oh, is that right?
It's so,
why?
So,
what's
so different.
How different?
Just like general energy and vibes. Like, I feel like I'm in, especially in LA, I feel like I'm in a set for a film.
You're right. On a
probably
film
because,
set. Okay.
Like, New York and LA are, you know, in so many TV shows and movies and stuff that,
right,
you know,
it doesn't
so
seem real.
Familiar. Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. And the places have so much character. It's awesome. I love it.
Now, you're 16.
Yes.
What do most people ask you about when they start talking about the fact that you're 16? What's the question that you get the most?
Usually I get like, how can you write at that age? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never been any other age.
I don't really know.
Like,
an
I've never been
that.
Older than that, so it's difficult
right.
for me to
When I was 29, I was writing well, but now I'm 16.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I think people probably are fascinated by the fact that you're only 16. And you
impressed.
Can, yeah. And impressed, right. And yeah. you can write. When I was 16, throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Right. You did not have a song on K-Rock when
None.
You were 16, Kevin.
No.
I also find this fascinating, and I know a lot of our listeners do too, is that it's not like you just woke up one day a month ago and said, hey, I'm going to write a song. I mean, you kind of have known this was going to be your thing. You've had this feeling of, hey, I want to make music and hey, I want to write songs for years at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've been working with my record company since I was like 12, I think.
Did you get signed to a record company when you were 12?
I was signed. Okay, happen? I was signed at 13, but they saw footage of me singing in my school talent show. And I was like just a vocalist at that point. And
what song did you sing when they
I sang Warwick Avenue by Duffy.
Okay.
You're
Ooh, good song. Sure.
Yeah. but yeah, and then since then I've just been like writing songs and, you know, having vocal coaching and figuring out my sound.
When you started writing these songs and you're 13 and then you're 14 and then you're 15, were you really anxious to get it out? Like, was it tough for you to wait for the time that
Not
you
really,
finally...
because I'm very much about cleanliness. Like, I don't like there being a lot of middle... You know, like, I'm glad I don't have, like, 50 leaked demos out there or whatever.
Right.
Because I feel like, you know, we all have the internet and, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a demo because it's on YouTube and everyone's going to listen to it. So
right.
It was quite important to me to not put stuff out until I was confident that I thought it was cool. Like, I wrote the EP when I was 15 in that year, but I didn't put it out for like quite a few months after I'd finished it.
Now I read an interview where you were talking about where you were when you were 15, and you, it seems like that was a different time for you.
Well, I think like every teenager, like every 6 months is like colossally.
Of course it is. But singing those songs now, what, does it feel strange?
Kind of.
Because you have a new album, right? It's going to come out at the end of September.
My first album, yeah.
Her first album comes out at the end of September.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But are you finished with that one?
I am, yes. Okay. It's all done.
What's the, tell me about your home situation. You have parents, brothers, sisters?
Do I have, yes, I, look, I have parents and two sisters.
We learned the hard way not to ask about mom and dad because one could be dead or separated or what. It can go south fast.
Ooh, yeah.
So no, we just ask in general, hey, how are things going with your home life?
Yeah. Well, I have parents and I have two sisters and a brother and a lot of pets and stuff. So it's
I'm sorry, a lot of pets?
Did you say?
Pets. Pet.
Oh.
Pets.
Oh, what kind of pets? Oh, pets.
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 Yeah, there we go.
You said pit, but all right, okay.
I don't know. Okay,
what kind of pits do you have?
Very hairy ones. I've got dogs and cats, and my mom wants a bird, and we've had rats and mice and guinea pigs, and I think we were going to get lizards. I don't know, there's all sorts. I want to get a snake, but you can't have that in New Zealand.
You can't?
No, oh, you're not allowed to?
Which frustrates me every day.
Yeah. Is it because, like England, they don't allow snakes on the whole island because they've banished them?
Well, I think we have a lot of bird life, and it's like, you know, conflict of interest or whatever.
But you still go to school, Lord?
I do, yeah.
And what's that like? Because you're played on the radio. I mean, your song has been number one on the radio in New Zealand, so obviously everybody knows you. What's that like?
Well, I mean, I've been going to my school for like 4 years, so everyone just knows me as like that person with lots of hair and like, I don't know.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, everyone who I know at school is really chilled about it. Some teachers like fan out.
Oh, that's bad.
I'm like,
isn't that interesting? The grown ups are the ones who fan out, huh?
Yeah, it's weird.
That's weird. But do they give you better grades because of it?
No.
Oh, come on. You got to get something out of it.
But I know what I know about being a teenage girl in high school is only from the movie Mean Girls. So this might not be completely accurate.
No.
Which
really
is a movie that came out, I think, before you were born. But aren't there some girls who are just mean to you because you're famous and they're like, oh, you think you're all that. Oh, you're better than me. Don't you get some pushback from other students?
Not really, because I've never been one of those like super hot, sassy, like popular, crazy girls. So, you know, like I hang out with the boys a lot and I just muck around. I'm quite chilled out.
Seem low key, yeah.
Yeah.
How many songs you reckon you've written at this point?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe like, I would say less than 50, but like between 35 and 50 maybe total, like that I'm happy with. But the new stuff I wrote when I was like 12, it was like, oh, cool.
And in interviews, it seems like it always comes up that your favorite kind of music is hip-hop music.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I enjoy hip-hop, but, you know, I love electronic music. I feel like that's my first love.
Have you been – is any of the stuff that you do in that direction at all? Like, would you ever do a hip-hop record?
I have this, like, barely contained desire to rap.
Oh, please rap.
But in a cool way. In a cool way, you know what I mean? Not like a terrible, crass way.
You like Kanye. Can you do Stronger for us in a minute?
I actually would know. I know all the words.
I know.
Of
course.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, this must be weird for you because you're now in the music industry. You're a known quantity. You have a hit record on the radio. You're going to be running in circles where it's likely that you might meet Kanye West. I mean, that's got to be the strangest thing.
I was actually in a meeting yesterday and he had been in the same office 24 hours before. So I was like, it's close.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Same here.
Would you fan out if you met Kanye?
I don't know. Either it would be like he was like an uncle.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd just be so bro or like just terrible fan out. I'd probably just freak. Just
would you
sit
say
there and like sweat.
Would you be able to say anything?
I could definitely riff with Kanye.
All right.
Muck around. Yeah. Tease him a little bit about the VMAs. I'll say, like, I'll like interrupt him and be like, oh, no, I'll let you finish.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't
this
do that.
The voice of Lord here on the Kevin DeBede Show. We're going to be hearing from her live in her song called Royals here in just a few minutes on the Kevin DeBede Show. You played in New York a sold-out show, your first show in America, and it was sold out. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that was like, playing in front of an American audience, or was it exactly the same as playing back home?
It was actually really, really good vibes. I feel like it's kind of understandable, like, in my country. People are really supportive, but they also want to, I don't know, they don't want to be, like, fooled by anything. So they're quite, like,
so they're kind
quite
of skeptical?
A critical audience. Yeah, quite a skeptical audience, and they don't, get down and boogie as much.
Really, they don't let themselves go. They just sit there and go, okay, what else you got?
Yeah, it's a lot more analytical, I think. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
And you're playing tonight, too, another sold-out show. That's going to be at the Echoplex.
Yeah.
So now you have sold-out shows in New York and L.A.
Well, yeah, they're not, like, huge shows or anything, so.
Just say, yes, I do.
Yes. You know it.
What do you play on stage? What instruments?
I don't play anything. I just sing.
Okay. Yeah, you have a band?
Yeah, I do have a band. But so I feel like...
So you had to hire a touring band to go around with you.
Yeah. They're cool. I feel like a lot of female musicians try and like half-heartedly play something on stage to look like they can play something, but I'm like, you know, I'm not really that good at any instrument, and I would rather devote myself to doing the thing that I can do, you know?
It seems a little, if you're standing out there alone, it also seems a little like awkward, what do you do with yourself? I think maybe that's why some people grab a guitar or something. Or,
It is strange, and especially because I cannot dance at all.
You can't dance at all?
I'm really, really bad.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's just, you gotta...
Are New Zealanders the whitest people in the world? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I might be. I don't want to speak for the whole population here.
But you might be the whitest person in the world.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When you write your songs, since you don't play instruments, do you just write words and you have no melody in mind and then you collaborate with somebody who puts it to a tune?
Well, no, it kind of changes. Like, I would say 80% of the time I will write most or all the lyric to a song, and then I'll take it into my co-writer, and then everything else is collaborative. We do all the melodies, all the beats, everything together. But these days I've started to write, like, you know, a melody first or, like, a beat, like, mouth drums into the microphone of my iPhone.
I'd like to hear some of that off
it's
your
bad.
iPhone.
Really
I would
bad.
Like to hear some of the stuff on your iPhone.
Not good.
The show at the Echoplex tonight is sold out. However, we are going to be giving away some tickets here in a couple minutes. And Lord is coming back, too, by the way, in September, playing at a venue called Belasco. Do you know what that is, Kevin? Have you heard of Belasco?
I have not. I don't know what that is.
That's going to be on September the 25th. We'll find out some more about that and fill you in and hear some live music from our guests when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Lord is here and is going to perform live for us. Are you ready to go?
I am.
All right. Lord, live on the world famous K-Rock.
I've never seen the diamonds in the flesh. I count my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's someone in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler, ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, baby, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on the gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of bride.
make me be. Baby, oh, oh, oh. Let me live that fantasy. Oh, oh, oh. We're bigger than we ever dreamed. And I'm in love with being queen. We are caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me creepy. Baby, oh, let me live that fantasy.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
That sounded incredible.
Thank you.
And you're sick.
Yeah.
And you claim to be sick because then we wouldn't expect much, but clearly you're not. That sounds amazing. That is Lord performing live here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, tickets are going on sale for the upcoming date in September that we mentioned at the Belasco Theater. We did some recon on. That is downtown near the Mayan. Apparently it is a great space downtown. Tickets are going on sale for that show tomorrow at 10. If you want to see Lord at the sold-out Echoplex show, please call K-Rock right now at 1-800-520-106, and we have a few pair of tickets to give away to people who are listening right now. Lord, how was that for you? Was that cool?
Yeah, good.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much for visiting Los Angeles. Thank you so much for visiting K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show. We really enjoyed meeting you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, time for a new episode of How Does the Story End?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend. Does the story end?
So this is where we tell you the beginning of the story, and then you try to fill in the blanks as to how it ends.
All right.
Okay. The beginning of the story is a man in Zhejiang, China. Of course, I have no idea if I'm saying that right.
That sounds pretty close.
Was supposedly so depressed by his lacking love life that in a moment of desperation, he cut off his penis.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
What happened now?
He cut his penis off. Yeah. Just chopped it off. It's like, I'm not using you, F you. And chopped it off.
Like you do.
Shortly after that, the 26-year-old had second thoughts.
Did he now?
Yeah. And now it's gone. Now it's, you know, sitting someplace in a bucket. And he's like, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the best idea. I should go to the hospital and get it reattached.
Mm-hmm.
So the man in China who doesn't have a car gets on his bicycle.
How do you ride a bike when you've got a gaping wound in your abdomen?
It certainly seems like you're sitting on the wound.
Well, right? I would walk before I would ride a bike if I had just cut my penis off.
There's a bike seat that is basically meant to put pressure on that area.
Oh, please stop.
So dude rides his bike all the way to the hospital. And gets to the emergency room. And now I ask you,
how does the story end?
He did make it to the emergency room. You
yes,
gave
he
us
did.
That much? See, because
yep.
I was my guess was going to be that he got hit by a car on the way to the hospital.
He probably wished. That would have been better.
He got to the emergency room, Kevin.
Okay.
And his girlfriend was a nurse there at the emergency room, and he had to see her again.
Oh,
he had
awesome.
To see her. That's how she found out, is because she was in the hospital for some reason, and she found out he cut off his penis because of her. That's how the story is.
Lisa?
I think they couldn't reattach his penis because he did damage to it, that area, while riding the bike.
How does the story end?
See the irony of that?
I do see the irony of that, yes. What actually happened in this story, and it's for real, is that he got to the emergency room and they said, all right, let's have the penis. And he said, oh, I forgot.
Yay!
Nice job, dumbass.
What?
So now I ask you one more time, now that he has forgotten.
How does the story end?
Well, I mean, I assume they sent somebody back. You know, they sent somebody in a speedy ambulance car to go back and retrieve the organ and try to reattach it, I would
imagine. But then the dog got it before they got there, and there was nothing left to reattach.
How does the story end?
He got back on his bicycle.
No, he did not.
And rode back to his house.
Help a brother out. Give him a ride to retrieve his penis.
Anyone with a car. But I'm guessing anyone with a car is thinking, I don't want all those stains in my car.
Right. I want a bloody guy in my car.
So dude rides his bike all the way back, gets the penis, rides his bike all the way back to the ER. And I ask you now.
How does the story end?
It has to be too late at this
so
point.
So cut off his penis, rode his bike to the ER, forgot the penis, rode his bike back home, rode his bike back to the ER.
I know there is a time limit.
Yeah, it has to be dead. I mean, look, I hate it when this happens, just in general, just by policy. I just hate it when this happens. But there's no way they're able to reattach it after that much time.
I wouldn't think so.
It was impossible to reattach because it had been too long.
Dude.
Moral of the story? Don't cut off your penis.
Or have a car.
Or have a car, right.
That's how the story ends.
Omar is in the studio with us, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
Yes.
And
podcaster Omar Khan.
That's right. Thank
I love
you.
Omar
Thank you,
because
Ralph.
He's one of the few people that is as fascinated with the Armenian comedian as I am.
And every week I'm falling more in love, Ralph. I mean, Ralph and Kevin, yeah.
You are a rare breed.
I couldn't love him more. I don't even understand where a guy like that gets that level of confidence, but I love he's a 10 on 11 on the confidence level and a 0 on the talent level, and you put those two together.
He's like in the negative.
I you know? Love that. And you started doing a podcast with Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Right. This is the second one, and I decided that every show we're going to need a new intro.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to go and pull the other intro. It's too much work. I want to keep the work level for me as low as possible.
Hey, you're doing us a favor by spending an hour with
exactly.
them or however long you're.
So this week's intro is magic.
Hey, what's happening, folks? This is Sam, the Armenian comedian, Variety Podcast Show. Wow! Welcome, everybody. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Omar. Does he not realize that the music is fighting him for attention?
He doesn't realize anything in life, dude. What do you think?
From you. Yeah.
He finally gave in to the music.
Yep, the recorder solo.
He's a musical genius, right, Ralph?
He has a recorder like you had when you were in second grade.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to tell the people that, you know, K-Rock, for the Kevin Bean Show, we have to edit the clips down. The podcast itself, it's about 30 minutes long. Do yourself a favor and check it out because it's way better in long form. Because the bits that I'm going to play you are, I mean, I had to edit them down. They go on forever. And Sam just does whatever I ask.
Whether you like him or hate him, it is fascinating to hear Omar just twist, just stab him and just... drive him crazy.
Manipulate him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
so
awesome.
The one thing I did edit one thing. He does like a 5-minute chunk on backgammon.
On what?
That's what he kicks off the podcast with. Backgammon. That's what it starts off with.
That's good radio, right there.
So I had to edit that out because I don't want to torture the listeners that much.
But if they go long form, they get back in it.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you do go to the podcast and you listen to it, Sam does give out his phone number in the podcast.
Does he?
Yeah.
Really?
So if you guys go download it, you guys could give him a call, suggestions.
Where is it available?
It's available at KevinBean or KRock.com.
Okay, there you go.
So he works at a beauty salon. So I ask him this question.
Do you do the facials?
Yeah, I do.
I could give you a facial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Would you like that? Know what I mean?
He doesn't.
What?
You don't know what I mean?
No.
Okay, let's just move on.
Okay.
So Sam thinks it's a great idea to do balloon animals on radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, backgammon and balloon animals?
Dude, this podcast is... I'm sorry, Ralph. We're going to put HBO... out of the map.
Oh, that's
too
bad.
Blow you guys out of the water.
Sam is Mr. Clown. He likes to put clown makeup on and go to children's parties. And
he's terrifying.
We got a tweet from somebody that saw him in a mall making balloon animals and said it was just pathetic.
And I thought it was the best thing ever.
So Omar says, bring your balloon animals. This will be great for the podcast.
Along with every balloon animal, he has a story to tell. This is him making a balloon animal that's supposed to look like Mickey Mouse, but this is a story.
This is Mickey Mouse. He ate so much cheese, became that color.
I don't know what that means, Sam.
What is happening?
Okay.
And by the way, his balloon animals, I'd give you $1 million if you can identify what they are.
Yeah. I'll tell you what they look like, okay? It takes him about a full minute to make a balloon animal. I mean, he goes on forever. And there's no editing in the podcast.
Right.
You hear him going through it. So finally, when he's done with the Mickey Mouse one, this is what happens. This looks like a dog, Sam. It doesn't look like a Mickey Mouse.
It is Mickey Mouse.
Let's do another one. So
let's do another one.
So as soon as he's done with one, I pop it instantly. So we do like 6 different ones, but I just keep popping them over and over.
Does he not see that coming when you say start again? Does he not see, like, after you pop the first one? Does he think you won't pop the second one?
Does he not know you?
You would have popped him all day
absolutely.
Long.
Absolutely. I have no idea what goes on through his head. But he did bring a kazoo with him this time.
Sweet.
Okay. So he starts playing the kazoo, and I tell him, I'm like, dude, you should kazoo and beatbox at the same time. This is what he comes up with.
Sounds like he swallowed the kazoo.
That is a great use of podcast time.
I'm telling you, dude, this guy is really fascinating. So I thought it'd be great to have him crank call people.
Wait, Sam's going to prank call people?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I decided we're going to call Beer Mug.
Okay.
So Beer Mug automatically knows it's Sam. Okay. But he kind of plays along or whatever. And for some weird reason, Sam goes on this rant.
Why you call yourself Beer Mug then? That means you are always on like a little baby boy. Nom, 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 beer. I need a beer. Oh, Beer Mug. Where's my mug? Where's my beer? And you're going to check out
Sam, let me interrupt you here. This isn't much of a prank call. He knows who you are. That was not good, Sam.
Wait, does he know what a prank call is?
I don't. Yeah, well,
has he ever heard of a prank call?
We do another one. I have one clip, and then we're going to get to another prank call.
Okay.
Prank call Dave is pretty funny. I don't know, dude. The guy is clueless. But I don't know why he decided to go on that rant. And he really thinks through the entire thing that he's killing it.
Oh, right. That's the beauty of him.
He's killing it. He thinks he's the funniest thing ever, for sure.
If you don't see it in person, it's hard to imagine anyone with that much belief in what they're doing.
It's insane.
He's slaying.
And of course, in every podcast, we have to include a song, so this is a song we include. I think that sounds good, Sam.
Thank you.
What's the song called?
It's called About Shot.
It goes on. That's like a 2-minute
chunk.
This
is Omar popping the this is Omar popping the balloon again. He asks him to sing a song, and then he plays sound effects all over.
That's the best. Again, if you download the podcast, Sam does include his phone number in the podcast. It's kevinmeanerkrock.com. You got to go download it and then crank call Sam. So we decided to crank call Dave, but Dave doesn't pick up because he didn't recognize the number, so he gets routed to the programming department here, the kids here.
Okay.
Okay.
So the phone ops that work here at K-Rock.
Exactly. Okay. So this is what happens. Crank call him good, though. Yeah. Crank call him good.
Yeah.
Programming, this is Guillermo.
David, please.
Stop it right there.
Oh.
So what he does is, because he doesn't change his voice, what he does is he puts his hand over his mouth and goes, David, so the phone up can't understand him. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Oh, who is this again?
David, please.
Who is this?
This is Crank Calling.
Who is this again?
Crank Calling.
Wait a minute. Wait, he tells him that this is crank calling?
Can't come up with a name.
So he says this is crank calling.
He says this is crank calling.
How is that possible that ever happened?
That's the most literal crank call ever. I'm crank and I'm calling.
Oh, David, please.
Oh, who is this again?
David, please.
Who is this?
This is crank calling.
Who is this again?
Crank calling.
If you can take it, we would suggest downloading the podcast.
Just download this week's to get his phone number and call him. Seriously.